Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry. Bring a little sunshine indoors with the exciting new arrivals in store or online at harrycurry.com.
0818 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. It's happened to so many people on holidays, including myself. Your apartment or whatever is broken into and a number of items are stolen. Sandra Hughes is in Glenamaddy. Sandra, what happened?
Hi, Joe. Thanks for having me on. Myself and my mom and my son went to Tossa de Mar for a week.
Where? Tossa de Mar?
Yeah, Costa Brava.
Oh, Costa Brava. Okay, yeah.
Yeah. We had a lovely week now, I must say. It was very nice, good weather and everything. On our last night, we went out for dinner. And on our return back, we found our room had been broken into.
Oh, my God.
The safe had been pulled out from the wall and it was all busted at the top. You could tell they used like a crowbar to try and get into it. Now, our front door wasn't damaged. So we went down to reception and the man at reception came up and had a look. And we asked him to call the police who came then. The police said that they entered through the balcony door.
Okay.
We were the top floor. We were the third floor up. So we informed the, we said to them we couldn't stay there that night because you'd be too afraid. So they had no other room available, couldn't do anything for us. So we had to go and look then for another hotel and walk the streets at 12 a.m. with a very scared 4-year-old. He was traumatised by it. Absolutely traumatised. And we got to the other hotel, but because our passports were in the safe, which was jammed and we were just hoping they were still in it, we had awful trouble then getting booked into the second hotel as we had no ID. Eventually we did. The lady there was lovely and got us booked in and we went back to our own hotel apartment then the following morning at 7. Just about 10 o'clock, somebody from the safe company came and they managed just to get it open. So we just got our passports back just before our transfer arrived. I'd been on to the Irish Embassy for advice because we were terrified we were going to get stuck there. But thank God we did. We got home.
Okay.
Myself and my poor mom cried when we hit the runway in Knock. We were just so relieved to be home. And my poor child, since he's just been so upset. It's like he's forgotten all the nice things of the holiday. It's just that bit he remembers of it.
So why have you contacted us?
I've contacted you because I booked through a company, a well-known one. I'm sure I can say the company's name.
Of course you can, yeah.
Yeah, Love Holidays. Now, I've been back onto Love Holidays to explain. I rang them that morning. They gave a number on their website that you have to ring.
Okay.
So I tried to ring that. It's an English number. That wouldn't connect. So I then proceeded to ring another number, and I did get through, and I explained, and I asked, would the phone call be recorded and noted, and what should I do? They advised me to put it in on the management app, which I did.
Okay.
They've now come back and said that they wouldn't be liable to, because I said I only want to be refunded for the night at the hotel itself or for the second night of the hotel we had to pay another $225 for. But they've said no, because you didn't ring this number. So I sent them pictures of call logs and everything. But just nobody wants to know. It's just like they're happy enough to just take your money. But not help you then when something bad happens.
So you want you're asking for a refund for the night that you didn't. Now, did they say to you in the hotel after there was a break-in, did they say to you, well, if you leave the hotel, that's your hard luck?
No. Okay. They were just like, well, you can stay in that room. That's it, like, you can just stay in that room.
The room that had been broken into.
Yeah, the room that had been broken into, which my son had to see. I was like, we couldn't stay there.
Okay, so you want a refund for that night and you're asking for payment for the other hotel that you had to find in the middle of the night, so to speak.
Yeah, and walk the streets. Like, it was gone 12 a.m. and we were, my mom and my son walking streets.
Now, they've written to you, because you sent us in the documentation.
Yeah.
And I know there's a translation issue, but they're basically saying, unless I'm wrong, are the hotel not saying there's no evidence of a break-in?
Yeah, basically, yeah. Even though the police came, and I did make a police report in Tyrone Airport because
they
said
say
to me when they came,
it's impossible to enter through the balcony since it has a lock, that once the door is closed, it locks. Any marks that may be there are because they are old doors with a lot of use. This is what they're saying.
That's
so basically,
what they said.
They're basically saying it was your own fault.
Yeah, yeah. But yet there was no damage done to our door and you needed a key to enter.
And how would they have got onto the balcony? Are you on the ground floor?
No, we're on the top floor, the third floor up.
So
even when I got onto the Irish Embassy, she couldn't even believe it. She was like, the top floor?
So Spider-Man
broke in. Spider-Man broke in.
Okay, so where are we now? And Love Holidays are just saying nothing to do with us.
Yeah, because I didn't follow policy, even though I did. But that number would not connect on that morning. Yeah. I sent them screenshots to prove, no, I did try to ring that number, but I couldn't get through. And then I sent them another screenshot of the number I did get through to with the length of time. I was about 15 minutes. I was on the phone to them while we were in with our transfer to the airport. That's how close it came to us not getting our passports back.
So, and because I've tweeted a photograph earlier at Joe Liveline, if people want to have a look at it, they made a serious effort to get into this safe.
They really did, yeah.
What and did like, they we think, were terrified. What did they think was in there?
Yeah, like, do you know, there was nothing really. It was our passports, but like, they really, really tried. Like, it came out from the wall that saved it.
And then who opened the safe for you? Because there isn't there a protocol, they will ring if you forget your code or whatever. It happens on holidays. They ring now. You normally have to pay £100 for it or something, but they ring and the safe company come out and they open it with a series of gadgets in the back. How did they eventually open it and get your passport?
They had to wait. We had to wait then for the safe company crowd to come, and that was at 10 a.m. that morning, and our transfers were 10:35. They brought me into the room just, I suppose, that if they did open it, that I couldn't say anything was taken,
which was
fine. And your man kind of used spanners and he had to go in at the top where it was busted. Okay. He tried the gadgets at the back, but it wouldn't work because it was that badly damaged. And even when he did open it, like the poor man, like he'd an awful job to open it. And the whole safe then just like took across the table and he had to catch it.
So the safe the safe is a write-off.
Oh, completely. Yeah, completely.
In fairness, Love Holidays did send you an apology from the hotel.
They did,
Yeah, that's very good of them, yeah. But the hotel are not giving you a red Rex back. They're not giving you a penny back.
Nothing.
Okay. Now, they could, if they're saying it's your fault that you left the door open, which you were categorically denying, and it's the third floor, they could also come back and say we're gonna charge you for the safe. Those safes are expensive.
Yeah. Well, I paid my deposit for the safe. Do you know?
Okay.
I'm sure that's why you pay the deposit first, and I paid the deposit for the room. And
how much is the deposit on the safe? I thought it came.
What was it? I didn't get that back either. I didn't even look for that back. I was just so glad to get my passport.
But I thought...
I think it was 25. I think it was 25
for the week. Yeah, but I thought, like the Brown Thomas bag, I thought when you make the purchase, every hotel room now has a safe. It's a given, like a sink or a shower or whatever. Every room has a small safe. No, they're expensive. But you had to pay a deposit for the safe.
I had to pay a deposit for the safe. I think it was 25 for the week, along with a deposit then for the room, which was 50 for the week.
And that's for damage to the room, is it?
Yeah.
Now, the apology is an apology. They have apologised. Is that worth anything to you? It didn't cost them anything.
No, it's not. It's not. It's not, because at the end of the day, we still had to go walking with a very scared four-year-old in the middle of the night and go looking for, like, there wasn't even a suggestion of, well, I know you don't feel safe here. I can suggest such a hotel. Nothing.
Okay.
I just felt very let down. You know, you spend a lot of money. I work hard.
I know that. We've had issues with Love Holidays over the last few months. Now, I see their response was to buy full page ads in all the national newspapers with these anonymous quotes from various people saying how, which I'm sure is totally true. Saying how brilliant Love Holidays are. But on this occasion, now, Love Holidays do say, well, it's nothing to do with us. It's got to do with the hotel.
But you're kind of like, we book through you in good faith, and then if you have a number up for an emergency while you're on holidays, well, why have it there? So if that's not the reason for it, do you know? I just think that if people, if they just feel people can be treated that way, they're not long taking your money. And then when something like that happens, they just don't want to know. It's like, oh, I'll turn my back to that.
Okay, so
it is like the attitude. Nothing was taken. You're all right.
It's a trauma of being broken into. And you're adamant.
Yeah.
You're adamant. You were broke. Did the police say there's no evidence of it?
No, when the police came, they said it was through the balcony door. And I said, but that balcony door was closed. And one of the police ladies, she brought me out and she said, yeah, she said, see here, she said, see all the marks. She said, all they do is push something in there, click that button down, and then that'll open.
And the hotel's response was that wasn't broken into, that's wear and tear.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm hardly going to break one room and bust a safe open to get my passport stuck. Do you know?
Yeah, yeah.
It's just, okay, they just don't want to be liable. Nobody wants to be liable for it.
And does your own insurance cover it? No, wouldn't.
No,
no, it's such an unusual event. That the only thing is, it's not unusual. It's terrible. It's not unusual for.
It's not because I've looked it up.
I said this to a friend of mine earlier on, Sandra, and they said to me, which surprised me, they said they would never leave their passports or anything in a safe in their room. I don't know where you'd leave.
Well,
it.
I never will again, and I mean
well,
that.
See, I would.
Hang
on, where are you going to leave them?
Yeah, I'd be that scared now. I don't even know. It'll take me a long time to go on holidays, number one, again. And number two, I'd carry them on me at all times because I would be just so afraid now after that. Night, we had such a nice week.
Yeah, I know, which is brilliant, and your holidays. But I know what I used to do, and please forgive me, book lovers, but I'm a book lover. You can buy copies of fantastic, fantastic novels like David Copperfield fairly cheaply in Easton's or Hodges or whatever. Actually, so what I did, I went in, I bought two of them, and I hollowed out one of them, because they're a big tome. I hollowed out one of them using a scalpel. And I would bring that with me on holidays, as well as other books. And I would put my passport or whatever into David Copperfield,
so to speak.
But anyway, I don't know whether people have other ideas. Maybe to let us know. Or people who have what happened when your safe was jemmied and who took the hit. You took the hit, unfortunately. Okay, Sandra, Grimmie and Malga. That's Sandra and Glenn and Maddie. Joe at rt.ie, 51551. Is our text number, but Joe at RT.ie, no matter where you are in the world. Guido, good afternoon, Guido.
Hi, how are you?
Joe is my name, how are you?
We are fine.
Good. We is Giuseppe Boero, B-O-E-R-O.
Giuseppe
is now 82 years of age. He lives in Turin. In 1971, he was in Dublin. He met two sisters called Vera and her younger sister. Yeah. And he thinks they would now be 69, 70, 71, there or thereabouts. And he's looking for them. Okay, Guido, tell us what you know.
No, you know, okay, the story is this one. As you said, Giuseppe met this Vera, the first lady, here in Italy in the 71, first in Rome, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then Vera was coming to Turin for and stay with Giuseppe for a couple of days, and so, you know. So we have just, let's say, a little liaison, you know, a little one. And so after a while, she's back in Ireland, in Dublin.
Okay.
And 1 year later, or 2 years later, Giuseppe, tell me, quanto? Sorry, I have to ask, 3 years? 3 years later? No, allora, quanti giorni? Dopo quanto sei tornato in Dublino?
Giugno
72. Ok. On the 71 on June, he flew to Dublin and he spent 3 days with Vera, and then he met the younger sister also, and the family. And so he spent 3 days with the family there. So he got also some pictures about the family and the people. And okay, so that's it practically. So the point is that now she is looking to find a way, you know, to get in touch, just you know, to say how to know how they are, you know, and that's it. So
Guido, help me here now. This is a needle in a haystack. Do you know what Vera's sister? Vera is a common name in Ireland. Do you know what Vera's sister name was?
The sister name was
Giuseppe. Help me, Giuseppe.
Giuseppe.
Help me.
Il nome della sorella.
Mary.
Mary. Ah, Mary.
Okay. Mary O'Brien.
Mary O'Brien. Okay. And you asked Giuseppe Guido. Giuseppe, yes. Help me here. Have you any idea what part of Dublin you're in, Giuseppe? I know you're in love, but have you any idea what part of Dublin you visited in 1970?
I try to ask. Okay. In quale parte di Dublino ti ricordi? No, I didn't remember the where. You know, Dublin is quite big. You know, I was in Dublin myself too. So
okay, but was it? Guido, Giuseppe, did they live near the river, near city centre, near a big park, near a railway station, a fire, Bomberos, station, anywhere?
Ok, allora vicino c'era, non so, il fiume, c'era o vicino al centro, vicino
al fiume lì, fiume.
Ah, ok.
E c'è di spacca, diciamo, col bus.
Ah, ok, he told me that, okay, they went to the river for a walk, and they went also to the park, okay, but
yes.
To get the bus.
Get to the bus. Okay. But Guido, did I hear Giuseppe say did he say Phoenix Park?
Phoenix Park, yes.
Oh,
yes.
That's good.
Correct.
That's good. Did they lived, Guido asked Giuseppe, did they live near the Phoenix Park?
Cioè, loro erano abbastanza vicini al bus. Sì, okay, ma erano abbastanza vicini. Yeah, they were quite close to the Phoenix Park.
Well, that's Vera and Mary. And can you ask him this question delicately, Guido?
Yes.
Why does Giuseppe want to meet him again?
Yes, now, okay, let me ask. Allora, la domanda è semplice. Allora, perché le vuoi incontrare di nuovo?
Perché voglio sapere com'è la sua vita, come stanno.
As I said, because okay, he got obviously after this liaison, you know, Giuseppe got married, and so he want to know how the life went to them. You know, if the life was fine, was good, you know, and to say hello.
Okay, and. Giuseppe now lives in Turin. He's married. He's 81 years of age. He's sitting beside you. He's obviously hale and hearty. He's married to Mariella, and they've one daughter. Okay.
Yeah.
And he says he originally met Vera in Rome. What was Vera doing in Rome, Giuseppe?
No. Okay. They met. They met because they were part of the same club.
Club Iris.
They were partner of the Club Iris of Paris. That was, you know, a club that where you write to
pen
people.
Pen pals.
Yes.
Pen pals, okay.
So,
Can Giuseppe describe Vera? Was she small, tall, hair color?
Okay.
Personality, Guido.
Che personalità aveva? Com'era? Okay. No, dimmelo. È foto. He showed me the picture.
Okay.
Okay, he was he was quite tall. Alta. Yeah. She was tall, long hair. The hair was blonde.
Okay.
Okay. Blonde hair and eyes. The eyes, che colore degli occhi te lo ricordi? No, I do not remember the color of the eyes. This is bad.
Which is very surprising, Guido, for an Italian man. He did not remember. Was she beautiful? Bella?
Yeah, no, she was a nice lady, really. And now, okay, I got also a picture of the parents of Vera. You know?
Giuseppe has a photograph of the parents of Vera.
Yes, she got some pictures also.
Okay. Now, did Vera ever go and visit Giuseppe's family in Italy?
Yes, she she was in Italy, she was in Rome. Then from Rome, she moved to Torino, where Giuseppe was living. And she spent there 2 days or 3 days when è venuta a Torino. Three, 4 days also, okay? And
did she just
after she was in Torino, she had to leave back to Dublin.
Dublin, okay. And does Giuseppe remember when she was in Turin, did she do anything like, for example, go and see the Shroud of Turin? Is there anything memorable they did that he can tell us about?
Ok, quando siete stati a Torino, dove siete andati? Qualcosa di memorabile che avete visto? Cosa avete fatto? He was walking around, showing Torino, the historic part, the cathedral, the Mole Antonelliana, I don't know if you know, it's a nice place in Torino.
Yeah, it's a beautiful place. Okay. Okay, Guido, stay there. I need to take a commercial break. By the way, how did you find out about Liveline, Guido? How did Giuseppe find out about Liveline? This program.
It's a good question.
How did he find out about this Giuseppe?
No, as far as I understood, it was the city council that suggested him to contact you. Because he tried to get in touch with the city council.
Yes, and they said... Okay, prego. One back after this break. Joe.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
So we've been contacted by Giuseppe Buero. He's in Turin. He's now in his early 80s. He wants to contact a woman and indeed her sister just to see how they're getting on that he met in Dublin. He met through pen pals originally. And he visited Dublin around 1971. Vera's younger sister was called Mary. They, as far as we can gather, they lived near the Phoenix Park. But Vera also went out to Turin and she met Giuseppe's family. Giuseppe is now married. He's 81 and he's married to Mariella and they've one daughter. He rang Dublin City Council and they recommended that he contact Liveline, which is fair enough. Okay. Now, Guido, difficult question. Difficult question, Guido.
Sorry, John, I have to do a little correction because I asked to Joe.
Please.
Was not the city council to suggest to contact you. The city council suggested to contact the police, and the police suggest him to contact directly you.
Okay, that's no problem.
So this is to make that's the no story. Yeah.
Okay, now that's fair enough. Okay, so, Guido, difficult question. Il romantissimo. Romance. Was there a romance, Giuseppe?
As far as I understood, there was some romantic story. Yes.
There was,
yes.
Oh, that's lovely. And as Giuseppe, he said he has a photograph of the parents of Vera and Mary. Does he have any idea what they did? Where they worked or anything to do with them? Does he have any little clue that might help us, Guido?
Honestly, Say again, sorry. I didn't understand what you mean.
Does Giuseppe know anything else about the family? For example, did you know what the father worked at, Labore, the mother, or did they have brothers and sisters? Did Vera and Mary have brothers and sisters?
I will ask.
Okay.
Ti ricordi qualcosa della famiglia? Il padre cosa faceva? La madre cosa faceva? Okay. He remember. He's not sure, but he remember eventually the name of the father of Mary.
Yeah, good.
The father name was John, and and Margaret was the mother name.
That narrows it down to a million.
He's not 100% sure. But most probably he's getting close.
Okay, Margaret and John. But I'd say they would have passed now if you think that Vera and Mary, Vera and Mary would be around 70. Would they be now? That's young these days. Okay. And Guido, how do you know Giuseppe?
Oh, okay. Giuseppe is, is the husband of a friend of my mother-in-law. Okay.
Okay.
So we are close on the beach. We are on the seaside in this moment here in Cesenatico.
Now, Guido, you know the relationship between Ireland and Italy was very upset in 1990 because of a man called Scalacci.
Yeah.
You know the footballer Scalacci?
I'm a football fan. I'm a typical Italian.
Well, you know Italy. You know Italy destroyed us and put us out of the World Cup in Italian 90.
I know.
Yes.
But what you don't know is that my wife and my son, we were in Dublin Italy won the World Cup.
So when Italy won the World Cup, you were in Dublin in 2006?
Yes.
Oh, well
my
done.
Son was taking an English training course, and and with my wife we were there, and so we celebrated the win of the World Cup in Dublin. That was funny.
But you know what the mystery is, Guido? Giuseppe, you are the translator, and you're very good, by the way, for Giuseppe. Giuseppe used to write to Vera. She visited him in Torino. He came to Dublin, Dublino, Phoenix Park, all of that, carry on. But how did he communicate with Vera? He hasn't got a word of English.
If you have to write, English is much easier than to speak. So, also now, you have Google Translator, all this kind of stuff, so, it's a little bit easier. And if you go just writing, that, when you met a girl and a man, sometimes words are the last important things.
But it's it's the language of love, Guido.
Yeah. You got it.
Okay, we'll put it out there. Does Giuseppe, does he think he might come to Ireland? What are his aspirations? His aspirare? What is aspira? What is his wishes, his ambitions?
Yeah.
Aspira ad astra, reach for the stars.
No, but, Giuseppe. Nel caso dovessero trovarti, eccetera, tu vorresti andare a trovarle? He's ready to come to come to Dublin, to shake the hands, obviously limited to that.
Of course.
Yeah.
I just love it, and it's just human. It's the wonderful, rich tapestry of life. He'd love to find out. What happened? And has Giuseppe ever been back to Ireland since, Guido?
Più tornato in Irlanda? No, he's never back. He didn't back. He didn't come back.
And she, just final question for Giuseppe. It was 19. Does he remember? Had they any song, any pop song that was popular at the time that they were? That they liked, that they both liked, or any musician or any writer that they both liked. Okay.
C'era qualche canzone che ti ricordi, che vi ricordavate insieme, qualche canzone famosa che era
O'Brien,
la...
O'Brien has no place to go.
Ah, O'Brien has no place to go, it was a song, something like that.
What is that? O'Brien has no place to go.
Honestly, I do not know this song, but...
No, neither do I. O'Brien, the song, can any of our listeners help me? O'Brien has no place to go. It wouldn't be Dermot O'Brien and the Merry Ploughboy. What was in the... That was the 1960s, that wasn't the 70s. Okay, the song that they liked was O'Brien had the phrase, O'Brien had no place to go. Okay. Apparently it's by Connie Foley. Do we have it? We'll try and get it somewhere.
I don't know.
O'Brien has... And would he recognise the song if we played it?
Mm-hmm.
Would Giuseppe know... If we played the song, would Giuseppe know it?
I suppose yes. Se tu te la ricordi la canzone. Yeah, yeah, he remembered the song.
Oh, very good. And what did Giuseppe do in life?
Okay. They give as a gift the LP.
Oh, the LP.
Brian has no place. Yes, Brano by by Brendan Shine.
Ah,
this is the okay.
Brendan Shine. The album by Brendan. Is it? Do you? What would that be, Mark? That be? Do you want your old lobby washed down, O'Brien? O'Brien? Is it? Okay. Well, that helps us. That helps. It's memory. And Guido, finally, what did Giuseppe do in life? What did he do in life?
Oh, now he's retired.
Oh, yeah, obviously, yeah.
Yeah.
Ask. Would you hold the phone to Giuseppe and does he recognize this song, Guido?
Yes.
Okay. Does Giuseppe recognize the song?
Absolutely.
Ah. Is he happy? Describe his face, Guido.
Yeah, absolutely happy. And he wants to say hello to Guido.
Okay.
You know, he wants to say, please, Giuseppe.
Put him on, okay.
Good afternoon, Mr.
Giuseppe, Mr. Joe. Giuseppe.
Mr. Joe, good afternoon, Mr. Joe.
You are
I have last hope in you.
Okay, last hope. As
long as I live, two is for me, please.
Yes.
You find very, Vera and Mary O'Brien for me.
Okay, we try.
You understand? No, you are the last chance for him, you know, that you will find them for you. Okay.
Well, we do our best.
I hope find his friend, very, very friend.
Okay. And I tell you something, Giuseppe, Guido is a very good friend for you, Guido. Isn't
yes,
he?
Yes, Guido, very friend.
And Giuseppe, if you do come to Dublin, will you come in to say hello to us in RTE in the national radio station?
I'm sure he will.
Okay.
He will.
Well, we do our best.
But at the time, you will need to find another translator.
I hope you, Mr. Joe.
Yes.
I hope you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Grazie. We'll do our absolute best. We've a lot of information there, especially the song.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you really so much, Drew. It was a pleasure and a night speak with you and speaking with your, you know.
Yeah. Okay.
We have also a nice memory about Dublin with my family. So
it's a great city, and Italians love it, and we love Italy. Guido, thank you very much for everything you've done, especially in terms of translation. And buonasera, good evening, or buon pomeriggio, good afternoon. And I've been nearly fluent in English by the end of this program. Non parlo italiano, and a lot of the time, Guido, non capisco. Okay.
No, okay.
Grazie. Thank you. See you soon. That's Guido Lepole. And Giuseppe Boera, B-O-E-R-O. It's an unusual second name. So, and they're looking for Mary and Vera. So, please, God. Oh, what's the Italian for me now? My nervosa, nervosa, they broke my nervosa.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
And Joe at RT.ie, Vera and Mary are out there. God, if they're still with us, Vera, it's a long time ago. It's a needle in a haystack. We need more. Anyway, Vera and Mary. Brian, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe. Thank you for taking my call.
And thank you for making the call. But the thing is, from reading your call, I know who did this. You know who did this. We're not allowed to say it, but you know who the culprits are. Who is breaking up? What has happened to these beautiful, beautiful birds and their nests?
Right. Great crested grebes. Now, can I just explain what a great crested grebe
Please,
is?
Please, yes.
I put it down as a graceful water bird. It has ornate head plumage.
Mm-hmm.
They perform a lovely courtship display dance where the male literally hands over a bunch of weeds, which he, you know, in our terms, would be a bunch of flowers, you know. So they're an exotic bird in Ireland, and something has happened to a number of pairs of them in my local reservoir.
And what has happened to them?
Now,
okay.
Can I name the place, can I? Yeah, it's Roundwood Reservoir in Wicklow.
Okay.
Up beside Roundwood.
Beautiful spot, yeah.
Yeah, beautiful spot. I'm a bird watcher, photographer, and I keep up my 10,000 steps a day. Basically, I ramble around taking photographs and looking at the birds and sitting down, you know, and because, as I said, I'm an old-age pensioner, it just fills the day. Now, since... You know, the breeding season for these birds is January, and they can sometimes breed up to as late as September. You know, I think the seasons are gone astray now, and the birds they don't know whether they're coming or going. Now, on this stretch of water, I've encountered five different breeding pairs at different stages of breeding.
Okay.
Right. Now, as of the 11th of July, I came across... From a distance, I came across, you know, because I've telephoto lenses and bird spotting scopes.
Well, well done.
I came across a breeding pair who were just starting, had finished their courtship ritual, and were in the process of building the nest.
Okay.
Now, that's the 11th of July. The incubation for their eggs takes 23 to 27 days.
Okay.
So in hail, rain, or snow, okay, there's no hail lately, but.
Mm-hmm.
The searing heat, they're out there. They're sitting on this nest in the open. This particular one was a bit in the open, but these are late birds. They're sitting on their nest through all types of weather and this, that, and the other. So I've been watching them. I go down. I don't have to go near it. I can just put up my scope, have a look. Everything's grand.
Okay.
You know, they're proceeding nicely. And in the interim, I discovered that there were two other pairs who had their chicks with them. One had three chicks, the other had four chicks. That's okay. Two separate pairs. Okay, as of last week, I went down, set up, had a look from my vantage point, and I saw that this female was in distress going around the nest.
Ah.
You know.
Yeah.
Basically, I didn't know what was going on, but I could see that something had damaged the nest. Right. So I have a camouflage ghillie suit, you know, so I approached the nest. I got nearer to the nest and I said, right, something has damaged and pulled the nest.
Mm-hmm.
And she was trying to repair the nest. That's what I maintained. So I said, right, fair enough. Leave well alone. Leave the bird, get on with it. So a couple of days later, I go back up, had a look at the area. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Everything was gone. No sign, as if the nest was never there at all.
And would, like, could a weather event have disrupted the nest of the great crested grebes? No?
No, not in this particular spot.
So was you're saying it was human intervention?
It's definitely human intervention.
To what end, Brian? Why?
I'm at a loss.
Are the eggs valuable? Are the birds in themselves valuable? Are they rare? Are they?
They're rare enough. They're not.
Okay.
Oh.
Okay. Who are their competitors in predation in life? Like, what do they? What
nothing.
Do they? They live off fish, do they?
They do indeed.
Uh-huh.
Now, predator-wise, a predator wouldn't clean up a mess that it's made.
Okay.
Like a heron might go.
You're saying
they're highly defensive birds. Anything I've seen go near, like if you probably have an image there. They've a big beak. They are really, really defensive of their young.
They're beautiful birds. Beautiful.
Yeah, they're really, really defensive of their young. I've seen them. You know, they will take on anything. They'll take on a heron. You know, but as I said, the nest has been destroyed and removed
by humans.
And what I'm worried about now is I've been up frequently since then.
Why would I do that?
Yeah, but what my worry is now, I've no sign. I've spent hours scouring the waters looking for the other pairs and their chicks. There's absolutely, even the pair that whose nest was disturbed are gone. There's no sign of them there. It's an enclosed area of water. They can't have swum up a river. They can't. The chicks are so young that they can't fly. They're at the stage they can't fly.
Yeah,
the ones that are surviving. So I'm just at a loss as to why someone would do it. I know that in the last century now, people used to eat them. I don't think anybody's going to eat a great crested grebe. You know, catching them would be one thing. Their plumage was used for hats, you know, in the last century, hats and ornate headdress and all that, you know. I think it's millinery, isn't it?
Yeah, millinery, yeah. Okay.
I don't think any milliners
But are they...
Not this day and age.
Do they take fish from that other people might be looking for? Do you follow me?
That's their diet. That's what they live on, and small crustaceans.
Okay. Have you ever seen the nests of great crested grebes disturbed before by humans?
No.
Okay.
No, I'm at a loss now. This is the first time I've ever encountered it.
You're not just at a loss, you're upset about it.
I am, because I've been watching this pair, you know, from their courtship, sitting there on the nest, you know. I think anybody... I tell you what, a lot of people go up there and they're amazed that they come along and ask me, what is that? And, you know, the chicks ride around on the mother's back.
Oh,
from within an hour of their being born, the chick climbs onto the mother's back. And, you know, it's fantastic
Incredible.
To watch this.
Incredible.
And when she wants to go fishing, she literally unceremoniously dumps them into the water. You know, there's no airs and grace. She just stands up on her feet, dumps them into the water, and they're left swimming. They can dive, you know, from hours after being born, you know, or hatched. Okay. You know, they're beautiful birds to watch. Even if you just sit there and watch it, it's a great
and
part
they,
of nature to
are they,
watch.
Are they common in Ireland?
Fairly common. More numerous during the, I think it's the winter period, more than winter over here, but they're fairly common, more so in the Midlands and Cavan, Monaghan, up that area in the lakes.
Okay. And as you say, they have a very sophisticated and choreographed mating ritual.
Beautiful to watch.
Okay. So you're saying to people, please do not touch this beautiful, beautiful board.
It's too late now. The damage is done. What's done is done, you know. Basically, it's a crime. It's under the 1976 and 2000 Wildlife Act. It is a crime to interfere with birds' nests or their eggs.
Of course, yeah.
And subsequently, I reported it to the relevant authorities, the Irish Wildlife and Park Service and the Gardaí. You're obliged to abide, you know, it's there in the legislation, you should report it. But unfortunately, people's hands are tied. You literally have to catch people in the act, as in any crime nowadays. You literally have to catch people in the act.
Well, when I saw this earlier, I was looking it up. Apparently, the Royal Society for the Protection of Birds in the UK, when they were set up, one of the reasons they were set up was because the great crested grebe was being hunted to extinction in the 19th century before its plumage for ladies' hats and garments. You're right.
Wow. I'm an avid bird enthusiast. You know, I travel around the world looking at different, you know, to encounter. I go away with a bucket list.
Yeah, what a
successful.
No, I know, but it's fantastic, fantastic.
Yeah,
it's
a great hobby. Yeah.
Okay. Well, in one sense, Brian, well spotted in that you did spot this, and two, well told, and three, I hope people are listening and will not, if they see anyone interfering with a bird's nest, they will check them to say the list and tell them to get lost. Brian, go to meet a mug at Joe at RT.
Can I give you one last? If anybody, I'm just worried about the other pairs. If anybody just encounters them, just say, Joe, I've seen great crested grebes with the chicks up and round. If people were up there out on a ramble, just say, right, Joe. And, you know, it's just something that I'm afraid that the other ones have been interfered with as well.
Oh, for God's sake. Okay.
And thank you to Annette for her understanding.
That's our producer,
She's. Her empathy, that's the word I'm looking for.
She's an Annette Fisher woman. She really is. She loves wildlife and nature. And that's as we all do. Thanks a million, Brian. I should mention, by the way, when we had that debate yesterday about the absence of live professional theatre at the minute, as Jimmy Murphy, the director, said on Liveline yesterday, and any actors or thespians or anyone involved in the arts world, get a chance to listen back to Jimmy Murphy yesterday and Ruth Walsh and David Duffy about the state of drama and art in Ireland and the few opportunities for professional actors. The only stage at the moment, according to Jimmy, is The Gate in Dublin that has a professional acting ensemble. The Lyric Theatre got onto us there in Belfast, as you know. They were very supportive of Jimmy. Jimmy has worked there. And they say at the moment they have the Mary Jones production of Fly Me to the Moon, the wonderful Mary Jones, Stones in Their Pockets, award winning. And the Gory Little Theatre were on to say, they're Amdram, but they're doing Play by the Western World for the month of August, every Tuesday and Thursday in Gory. And then our own Paddy O'Callaghan, who you met in Carlow the other week with Funny Friday, and a long time before that you've met him. Paddy is in the Cork Arts Theatre this week. Now, Paddy is basically retelling the stories of Eamon Kelly. And the reviews for the show so far are absolutely fantastic. Paddy O'Callaghan, Cork Arts Theatre, all this week. Joe at RT.ie.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe Duffy.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
And Joe at RT.ie. Guido Lipoli is back on. Guido.
Yes.
No news so far. If you ask Giuseppe, would he recognise Vera's voice after 50 years if she spoke? Would he recognise her voice, Giuseppe?
Dice se tu riconoscerai la sua voce dopo tutti questi anni. He doesn't know, honestly.
He doesn't know. Okay, we'll put the phone up to his ear. Because Vera O'Brien, Vera, good afternoon.
No, Joe, don't do this to me.
Do you reckon you're the Vera, Vera?
Yeah.
And do you remember Giuseppe?
Yes.
Will you say hello to him?
Yeah, okay.
Vera.
Hello, Giuseppe.
Vera.
Yes.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. And you?
Fine. You remember Torino?
Yes.
Turing. You remember Turing?
Yes.
Yeah. Your sister is fine. Your sister Mary.
Mary is still alive, we're told. Yeah. And Vera, you went to Turin. Tell us what you remember. Have you met Giuseppe?
Yeah, I wasn't long there, and I met his mum.
Okay.
Yeah.
And apparently, were you pen friends to begin with?
Yes.
And how did you get involved in being a pen friend with Giuseppe?
I think I found it in the paper.
Oh yeah, remember that, the Evening Herald.
Remember,
The Evening Herald and the Evening Press.
Yeah, I think with the herder, my dad got the herder.
Yeah, the herder, even the herder. And Vera, what age were you, do you mind me asking, when you met Giuseppe?
I think I would have been 21.
Oh, you were very young.
And I think Giuseppe was 27. I think he's good for you.
Yeah, he's 7 or 8 years older. He's now 80.
Yeah, because I'm 74.
Well, he's 80. He's 81.
Oh, I'm right, Jen. I'm 74, yes.
And there was romance?
Yes.
And was it serious? Vera. Vera. Yes.
Yes.
I am Giuseppe. Vera, ma... Your sister Mary is fine?
Yes, they're all fine, thank you.
You live in Dublin?
Yes, I still live here, yes.
He's found his tongue now.
You and your sister.
Yeah, they're still living in Dublin.
Your parents is not your parents.
Pardon?
Are your parents still alive, I think Giuseppe is saying.
I know, they could be dead now.
Yeah. Okay.
Could be 14 years and 16, you know?
Yeah. And do you remember Giuseppe coming to Dublin, Vera?
Yes, and we went all around, showed him Dublin. We went to College Green. I remember it was a beautiful day.
And
my mum loved him.
Ah, did she?
Yeah.
She was mad about him. She liked him.
Pardon?
Vera, in Italy, the
guy's
very nice.
Pardon?
He said that, okay, when you were in Italy, you had very nice days.
You were very belle, Vera, you're very beautiful. You're very beautiful, Vera. And Vera, you're still young, Vera, as you say, you're only 74.
I know, I'm 74.
Ah, that's young, now stop. Now, Vera, how did you get on in life so far?
There's some kind of personal stuff I don't like to talk about.
Okay. But did you have children? Did you get married? Were you working?
No.
Okay.
If I could talk to you in private about that.
Ah, yeah, don't be worried. Don't be worried. And, how long did you know Giuseppe for, Vera?
God, I think we were writing for a while now. Back and forward.
Okay. And how often did you meet?
And he used to send me on lovely gifts from Italy.
Oh, wow. And what
you know, little Italian dolls and all at that time.
Lovely. Vera, did you find it hard to communicate with each other with the language difference?
No, you all feel good English.
Yeah. It's English. Yes.
Vera?
Yes?
You know, you speak Italian?
No, I did when I was walking there, but now I forget.
What were you working at in Italy, Vera?
I worked as an au pair.
Oh, brilliant. And where I found
that in the newspaper as well.
And were you in Torino or Roma?
No, I was in Rome.
Yeah, and did you like it?
Rome, I loved it.
Wow. And have you?
I wish I had the courage of a fear of flying. Would love to go back, you know.
And have you gone back to Italy since?
No, I haven't flown since.
Have you not? No, okay, not to worry, Vera. And Vera,
because my son.
Yes.
He's always happy to go.
Yeah.
You know, he went to Italy as well, and he loved it.
Okay, here's Giuseppe again. Come in, Giuseppe.
Vera. Have you
and Mary
children?
Yes, I have one.
Okay. And Giuseppe has one daughter, Vera.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah. And he's married to a woman called Mariella.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah. And this is the man you hear talk. Well, that's Giuseppe. Obviously, he's now speaking fluent English after he couldn't speak it 10 minutes ago when he was looking for you. Yeah, Guido do it for you, but now he's after getting his mojo back, so to speak.
Guido.
Yes.
Guido is my friend, my big friend.
Yeah. Okay.
Guido is my big friend.
Okay.
No, I never met Guido.
No,
yeah.
They've Guido and Giuseppe. As far as I know,
I was not involved. Okay.
And Vera, there was romance.
Oh yes.
Vera, I go
in Dublin.
Well, hang on now, Giuseppe. Hold your horses.
Or to see you and Mary.
You might wait till you're invited, Giuseppe.
It's possible.
Okay, well, you know, what we could do to begin with, Guido.
And he's married, Joe.
I know, Vera, but come here to me.
He's Italian, man. You want to be up to them.
Did you ever think about marrying Giuseppe, Vera? Talk to Joe.
Remember when we were supposed to get married, Giuseppe?
Oh, Jesus.
I want to see you and
Do
Mary.
You remember that?
Do you remember Gash? Yeah,
you know what. Well, engage, fiance, Guido.
Yes.
A ring.
Okay, sorry. Yeah.
Yes. What? Okay. Well,
no, okay.
Yeah, okay. It was, so what you're saying to me, Vera, is that it was a serious relationship, which is brilliant.
Yeah,
that's fine. But he said Giuseppe said you were a very beautiful person,
down,
very
Vera,
beautiful.
Well, I was only watching you one day.
Sorry, Giuseppe, what did Giuseppe say?
Ciao, Vera, ciao tutti.
Yeah. No, okay. Do you think it will be possible to share the email address?
That's what I was going to say, Guido. What we'll do is, if you say that, Giuseppe, with Vera's permission and Giuseppe's permission, we'll put each other, we'll share a phone number, we'll ask Vera off air, I won't ask her on air, Vera, does she want to exchange phone numbers or emails? And maybe to begin with, they could have a phone call and then maybe they could have a Zoom call. Vera doesn't fly, and then see how it goes.
I don't have a computer answering that.
Okay, well then, the phone, or your friend, or whatever can help you. So, Vera, have you good memories of Giuseppe?
Yes.
Okay, because
I gave that lovely man on the phone my address.
Okay. Yes. That was Richie. Yeah, we can. So we can put the two of you in contact, Vera.
Pardon?
We can put Giuseppe and Guido in contact with you privately on the phone, obviously.
Yes.
We won't give out addresses at this stage.
No, not on the radio.
Okay.
Joe, I can't believe this.
Well, it's a small world.
It's like a dream. I always listen to you every day, but the past couple of days when I was there, I was home late.
Yeah.
So I missed you.
I missed you. Well, Giuseppe missed you more than I did. He's been missing you for 50, 60 years, Vera. That'd be nice. Anyway, okay. Guido, fantastic, Guido. Well done.
Yes,
next.
Yeah, tell Giuseppe thank you for contacting Dublin
fantastic
City Council, who
Guido.
Told you. Yes?
Come here, Joe.
No, go ahead.
Yeah.
Joe?
Yes, Vera.
How did all this start?
I tell you how it started. Giuseppe, for some reason, when he's 82, and maybe, you know, life, you'll sit back and look at your life. He wanted to try and contact you. Obviously, we couldn't give out your surname. He rang Dublin City Council. Well, he looked up Dublin, I presume, got Dublin City Council. He rang someone in Dublin City Council. How would I find somebody? And they said, ring the police. And he rang the Gardaí, Vera. And the Gardaí in the Phoenix Park said, no, ring Liveline. So there we are now.
So was the police that rang you? Was
No, it had nothing to do with the police. No, in that sense, he rang the guards. He was just looking for phone numbers. He rang the guards and the guards said, well, we wouldn't do anything like that. But if normally, well, but sometimes in Ireland, people will ring a programme called Liveline, talk to Joe. And that's what Giuseppe did. There we are.
Oh, God.
There we are. Isn't it a small world, Vera?
I think I'm dreaming.
You're not dreaming. You're not dreaming.
I'm in shock, really.
Okay. And have you? I know you're living in North Dublin. We won't say where, but have you friends and that around you, Vera? You have.
Oh, yeah. And what I love your friends
brilliant.
In a knitting club I go to.
Brilliant. Brilliant.
Yeah. See,
brilliant.
I live in an old folks' place now.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So we'll put the two of you in touch. Giuseppe, are you happier now, Guido? Will you ask him? Are you happier now? that you've heard. Vera is alive.
Very happy.
Very happy. Good man, Giuseppe. And Vera, are you happy to hear his voice again?
Yes.
You never thought it would happen.
I can't believe it. That's what I'm saying, yes.
Yeah. Now we
Vera, you are happy. Yes. You are happy. Yes. No, yes.
In life, yes.
Pardon? Yes.
Are you happy in life? Got the talents. Your talents are very forward,
Mary,
aren't they?
Many greetings all for Mary. Vera.
Okay.
Yes.
Many greetings
for all the family. Okay.
Mary, your sister, okay?
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Well, they all sound happy. Now, Vera.
Yes.
I sent you with Matt, okay?
Yeah, okay, you send details, Giuseppe. Well, and by the, we have all the details. Don't be worried, Giuseppe. We won't lose contact. Now, Vera, I won't tell Giuseppe that you won the Euro Millions there 3 weeks ago. And you're worth 230 million.
I wish.
It's great, Vera, it's great to hear your voice. Seriously. And
yes.
And Giuseppe earlier on, through Guido, they're just two lovely people.
Come here, are they on, it's Guido and Giuseppe on the phone?
Yeah, they're in Turin. Still.
Yeah, are they on the phone now?
Yeah. That's how you're talking to
yeah.
them. Yeah.
And is he still living in Turin?
Yes, he's still living there. Are you, Giuseppe, through Guido, are you living in the same place in Turin?
I'm living in Milan, and Giuseppe is living in a village close to Torino.
Ah, okay.
That is called
Collegno.
Near Torino.
And what do you remember of Turin? I know it's a long time ago, Vera. Was it nice?
Oh, yeah, lovely, yes.
And did you go and see the Turin?
Italy is a beautiful place. Yeah, I loved it.
But did you go and see the Shroud of Turin?
No.
Your mother would have made you go.
Because
I
wasn't there long. I was coming here Christmas. I wanted to come home and see the family.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, Vera, it's good to hear. And good to hear that you're hale and hearty, please God. And same with Giuseppe. It's a small world. I'd hate to have the wallpaper.
Sure, it is a small world.
And we put you in touch afterwards, Vera. But it's great to hear your voice on this summer's day.
Do you know what, Joe? I think I'm dreaming. I can't believe it.
No, you're not dreaming. Yes, I just hope it doesn't turn into a nightmare, Vera.
I know.
He sounds like a lovely man. And the first thing he said to us is that he's married to Marielle and he has a grown-up daughter.
I know. My mum is very fond of him.
Yeah, you were saying that. Yeah. And yeah. Vera, would you ever have thought of living in Italy, Vera?
Oh, yes.
Oh, you
would. Okay.
That's fantastic. Okay, Giuseppe. Ciao, Bella. Ciao, grazie.
Ciao.
Ciao. Okay.
I think we all know that word, ciao, in Italian.
Vera, do you remember this song?
Many kisses for you, Vera.
Okay, many kisses.
Many greetings for Joe. He's big.
Okay, thank you.
Did you hear that kiss, Vera?
Mwah. Yeah. Him and his wife, that's Italian to her.
This was the song he said you used to play and listen to together. Vera.
Oh,
Vera, did yourself the last question, Vera, and yes? Stop me. You know you can stop me. Did yourself and Giuseppe ever go into the parlour?
Yeah.
Oh, brilliant. Oh, I'm so happy. So happy.
Today is a very good day.
Okay. Vera O'Brien in Dublin, who hasn't seen Giuseppe in 50, I reckon it's 55. You haven't heard from him 55 years or vice versa.
Yeah, and just, I'd say so, yes.
Yeah, John Giuseppe. Yeah. Giuseppe,
yeah, it would be that, yeah,
Giuseppe Buero. His name is B-O-E-R-O.
Yeah,
Buero.
Yeah, I couldn't pronounce that either.
Okay. Giuseppe Buero and Guido Lipoli, who is the translator. We will exchange details afterwards and we will keep in touch with what happens.
Vera, okay, thanks very much, Joe.
Vera, good to meet you.
Thank you very much. Okay.
Yeah,
see you, Giuseppe. Bye.
Ciao.
See you.
Bye.
Ciao. Thanks. I'll see you later.
Yes?
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe Duffy!
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
As I said earlier, if you didn't hear yesterday's programme, have a listen back on the podcast. It's Jimmy Murphy, a tour de force about a plea for the arts in Ireland. So you don't hear it that often, and about the state of acting and people being paid, and then it revolved, it began with a discussion around Culture Night, I nearly said Vulture Night, Culture Night, and are the actors, we know the staff in state buildings, obviously, and rightly so, are being paid, hopefully being paid overtime on Culture Night, but somebody raised the question when Culture Night was announced and everything was free, do the artists and the actors and performers, do they get paid? And we still haven't got a satisfactory answer, and Jimmy was a powerful advocate for the acting community, both on stage and behind the stage. Now, Derrianne Morgan, you say it was on your bucket list and you took up acting later in life. What do you mean later in life, Derry?
Last year.
Oh, and, yeah.
Yeah, no, what happened was when I was a child, myself and one of my sisters, we used to put on these pantomimes in the back garden and we'd invite in the neighbours, charge them, and we helped this priest in Wales build a roof for his church. But anyway, I always had this interest in it, and my sister, unlike myself, didn't have kids, so she went on and explored it in the UK.
Okay.
And
how did she do?
Oh, she did very well. She was one of the sisters in Dancing at Lunasa and other places I went over to see.
Okay.
Yeah. So I just kept the old flame and the heart going, and last year, I saw something online where the local Donabate Port Ran Society were looking for people for what they call the Bleeding Pig Festival.
Okay.
And now that, by the way, I'll just clarify, the Bleeding Pig are a set of stones between Donabate and Port Ran.
Okay, I understand, yeah. And Derrianne, do you love the acting now that you've taken it up?
Well, I have, but what has happened is it's more the fact that the guys, they've given me an opportunity to do something that totally puts me out of my safety zone.
Your comfort zone, yeah.
Yeah, my comfort zone. I grew up with undiagnosed dyslexia, and with that comes short-term memory.
Yeah.
So to be able, I've been invited to do two walk-on parts and two little plays they're doing this summer, and they've no idea, Angus and Brian and Anya, the opportunity that's giving me to break.
And Derrianne, I know you tell us on your code, I'm 70, but have you auditioned for acting parts?
Oh yeah, this is what I go to the auditions for. I've gone to a good few with these people, and because they didn't realise that I was doing it for this reason, and I was putting myself, you know, beyond a barrier.
Brilliant.
In the hope that I can encourage other people who've gone through life, not been able to, you know, to maybe speak in public or, so it's going to be it's going to be a challenge for me, but I know I've great support.
Well done, Derrianne.
And come here, Joe, can I ask you something?
Oh, yes, ma'am.
You're not going to ring me someday now and have a fella from Holland call at my door that my father chased away with a sweeping brush.
Oh, what was his name? Give me his first name. Gunther, what was his first name? Ralph.
I can't think of his first name.
He chased him with a sweeping brush.
Yes, I was working. I was in my early 20s, and this guy was a pen pal, and he surprised me by arriving up at my family home. And my father went mental. Yeah, and he went to the door, and oh my God, what we used to put up with as children in this country is unreal. But so I'm delighted for Vera.
And where did Ralph go when your father ran him away? He ran, did he?
He ran, and I never heard from him ever again. And I'm now rattling that you're going to ring someday and say he's looking for me.
It's only a matter of time. Stay close to the phone, Derrianne, the wonderful Derrianne Morgan. Thanks indeed, Derrianne. Mark Twerbs and sound, Shane Galvin, producer Tari Lockwood Grant. Anna Geary is next.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry. The outlook just got even brighter with further reductions all summer, in store or at harrycurry.com.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815 or send your WhatsApp voice notes to 087 484 8888.